Harper Audio presents Cycle of Lies, The Fall of Lance Armstrong by Juliette McCurr. Read by Carrington McDuffie.
To my two greatest loves, Dave and Allegra. To my heroes, Mama and Tata.
This is my body, and I can do whatever I want to it. I can push it, study it, tweak it, listen to it. Everybody wants to know what I'm on. What am I on? I'm on my bike, busting my ass 6 hours a day. What are you on? Lance Armstrong.
This is Juliette McCurr. Prologue. The $10 million estate of Lance Armstrong's dreams is hidden behind a tall, cream-colored wall of Texas limestone and a solid steel gate. Visitors pull into a circular driveway beneath a grand oak tree whose branches stretch toward a 7,806-square-foot Spanish colonial mansion. The tree itself speaks of Armstrong's famous will. It once was on the other side of the property, 50 yards west of this house. Armstrong wanted it at the front steps. The transplantation cost $200,000. His close friends joke that Armstrong, who was agnostic, engineered the project to prove he didn't need God to move heaven and earth. For nearly a decade, Lance Armstrong and I have had a contentious relationship. 7 years have passed since his agent, Bill Stapleton, first threatened to sue me. Back then, I was just one of the many reporters Armstrong had tried to manipulate, charm, or bully. Filing lawsuits against writers who dared challenge his fairy tale story was his quick and easy way of convincing people that writing critically about him wasn't worth it. Over the years, he came to consider me an enemy, one of the many he and his handlers had to keep an eye on. Only now, after he has fallen, have we agreed to something approaching a truce. Though he deny it, I know that he has chosen to sit down with me because he thinks he might be able to control the direction of my book. No chance, I've told him. After multiple criminal and civil investigations into whether Armstrong orchestrated a sophisticated doping regime to win 7 Tour de France titles, after all the testimonies from writers who knew him better than anyone else and who contradicted under oath every public defense Armstrong had ever given, after he lied, and lied some more, the most notorious athlete of our generation realizes I'm suddenly holding a lot of rope. And I realize that, even now, he imagines himself to occupy a position of almost absolute power. "You can write what you want," he tells me in one of our many conversations. "But your book is called Cycle of Lies? That has to change." I've interviewed him one-on-one in 5 different countries, on team buses that smelled of sweat-soaked Lycra at the Tour de France, in swanky New York City hotel rooms, in the back of limos, in soulless conference rooms, for hours by telephone. Now, in the spring of 2013, after his whole world has come crashing down and moving trucks are en route to dismantle his beloved estate, I've come to visit him at home in Austin, Texas for the first time. "Yes, fine, come on out," he said. Beset by endless obituaries of his celebrated and now fraudulent career, he wanted to ensure that I wrote the true story. So here I am, parked beneath that grand oak that Armstrong had moved because, why not? I look at the house and think of his yellow jerseys. A month after the United States Anti-Doping Agency released 1,000 pages of evidence against Armstrong and stripped him of his tour titles, he had tweeted a photo of himself lounging, arrogance itself, on an L-shaped couch in this house, his 7 yellow jerseys hanging ceremoniously behind him. Back in Austin and just laying around. That was November 2012. 7 months later, will I find him still defiant? Before I can pull the keys from my car's ignition, a cherubic face under tousled curly brown hair appears at my window, and 2 small preschooler hands slap the glass. It's Lance's youngest son, Max. Armstrong stands behind him in flip-flops, wearing a black T-shirt over black basketball shorts that brush his scarred knees. His eyes are hidden by dark sunglasses. Say hi to Juliet.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?